Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikael Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikael is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Inshallah, check out the courses there, and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikael Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yufarribuna ila hubbik ya Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So continuing with our class regarding the etiquettes or adab of suhbah, written by Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah ta'ala, where he talks about the etiquettes of brotherhood basically. We're going to go through a few more of those etiquettes this evening. And before I go to the first one, we're on our 23rd etiquette at this point. Before I go into this next rite of brotherhood, before we go into this next etiquette, I wanted to share a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with you all. There's one hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sharru ma fi rajul shuhun hali' wa jubunun khali'." That the worst attribute that can be in a believer is a deep or a uncontrollable greed. Shuh halia, deeply inside, this greed is deep inside of him. And juban khalia, a juban that controls him, a cowardice that controls him or her. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you guys can come forward if you want to, there's room up here. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more explicitly, he states that وَلَا يَجْتَمِعْ الشُّحْ وَالْإِيمَانِ فِي قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that two qualities or two attributes can never ever come together or be combined in the heart of a believer. And the best example is like oil and water. They don't mix. They won't be found in the heart of a single believer. Meaning, in other words, if one of them is found, then there's a lack of reality of the other one, in other words. And what are they? Greed, an insatiable greed, and iman. Iman meaning faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I wanted to share this hadith is because as we talk about brotherhood, and we read these adab of or hukuk of brotherhood that Imam Sha'rani is saying before us, it's very easy to not understand and think that the bar has been set way too high. But in reality, if we look at what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, and if we look at the various ahadith of the Prophet or sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we see this amazing example of a lack of shuh. Shuh meaning greed. But shuh is more than like bukhl. Bukhl is just a regular greed. Like in the Quran, this word comes many times. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِي فَأُولَيْكُمْ مُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever is protected from the shuh of their own self, they will be the successful people. Meaning they have an absence of this greed completely. And one of the most profound hadith that I wanted to share before we go into this next adab or etiquette or haq, is that once Umar bin Khattab said this, these words, and these words are actually taken from another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Umar bin Khattab, he said, "Inna akhwafa ma atakhawafu alaykum an tahluku fihi thalatha khilal. Shuhu al-muta' wa ijabu ma'u bi nafsihi, bi ra'i nafsihi wa hawa mu'taba." Umar bin Khattab, he said that there are three qualities that I fear will come inside of your hearts. Three qualities. Because if these qualities come inside, they'll completely destroy you. One of them is a shuh, that you, muttaba, is deep down inside of you. Number two is i'jabu kulli dhira'i bi ra'ihi, that you become so impressed with your own opinion. And we're gonna talk about this one in a little more detail this evening. And the last one is hawa muttaba, and desires that you just follow. When the desire comes, you simply follow it. With that said, I want to look at the next haq, number 24, correct? Or 23. Number 23. قَالَ الْمُسَنَّفُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُشَاطِرَهُ فِي مَالِهِ وَغَيْرِهِ. He says, and one of the rights that one brother has on another brother is, he says, أَنْ يُشَاطِرَ, that you, the technical translation is what? شَطْرُ الْإِيمَانِ. At-tahara shatr al-iman. What does shatr mean? Half. Or a large portion. So Imam Sha'rani says, one of the rights of brotherhood is that you literally split your wealth in half with your brothers. You literally split your wealth in half with your brothers. And he says, وَغَيْرِهِ, in other things as well. And he gives multiple narrations where he says, and I'm just going to narrate these, he says, As-Sayyid Abu Maidan Al-Talmasani, he says, مَنْ مَيَّزَ بَيْنَ ثِيَابِهِ وَثِيَابِ أَخِيهِ فِي مِلْكِ فَمَا وَفَّى صُحْبَةَ حَقَّ الصُّحْبَةِ. He says, the one who separates between his clothes and his brother's clothes hasn't fulfilled the rights of brotherhood yet. She hasn't even come close to the right of brotherhood. And another one he said, it's amazing the verbiage that he uses. He says, "Ma tasahha suhba bayna ithnayn hatta yuqalu ahaduhuma lil akhir ya ana." What does ya ana mean? What's ana in Arabic?
Myself.
What is ya?
Oh.
So ya ana?
Oh,
myself. He says, you haven't fulfilled the right of brotherhood until you come to the level where you call your brother ya ana. Ya ana. What does he mean by that? He means that you get to this level where you don't see a differentiation between you and him. And in one narration he says, when your jayb is his jayb, when your pocket is his pocket, and you say to him, ya ana. Like, what level? The only example I could give to really bring this home for me is in Surah Hashr, verse number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising the muhajireen. Because the best example we have of this is the Muhajirin. Who are the Muhajirin? Muhajir, they migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, they welcomed them. And then the Prophet ﷺ created a brotherhood between them. And the actual example that we see happening is a Ansari, or a Sahabi from Medina, saying that, here's all my wealth, take half. It's for you. So there's one incident which is narrated, amazing incident that is narrated in Ibn Kathir and other books, which tells about the level of sakhawa that they reached. And sakhawa just means that everything they had, it was for that other believer, for that brother. And the example is that one time a person came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he didn't have food, and he was complaining of his poverty. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent someone to his wives and asked, do we have any food? And they all came back saying, we don't have anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made an announcement. He said, who can take care of my guests for tonight, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he spoke about some rewards for taking care of that guest. And one sahaba said, I'll do it. And he took him home. But when he went home, he asked his wife, he said, hey, do we have anything to eat? And she's like, no, I barely have enough for the kids. And he's like, well, this is our brother, and this is a guest of the Prophet ﷺ. This is what I want you to do. I want you to put out whatever food we have, and the moment you put out the food, I want you to, I want you to act as if the lights have gone dim, the candle was blown out or something, so that we now start to eat in darkness. And I'm going to pretend to eat, but it will only be him eating. And then she said, well, what about the kids? She said, well, what we can do is, I want you to stir the pot of the food, act like you're cooking, until they just fall asleep. Until they just fall asleep. So he did this. They did this together. Him and his wife agreed. They did this, and they gave everything they had. And in the morning, the Prophet ﷺ was like, good job. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, Allah was happy with what you did last night. He didn't say anything to him. He just walked in. The first thing, he's like, good job. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah is happy with what you did last night. A verse was revealed about you. And the verse was, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They give others preference over themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Even if they themselves are in need, they give preference to others over themselves. So the Prophet ﷺ in these hadith, and Umar bin Khattab in these narrations, he's telling you, the sign that this nation, this ummah, the sign that Muslims are going to be done is when their greed overcomes them. It overcomes their brotherhood. It's more about my stuff and my acquisition of things than it is for me to give anything to my brother. So that's why Imam, that's why Sheikh Sha'ran, he says here that وَمِنْ حَقَّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُشَاطِرَهُ فِي مَالِهِ وَغَيْرِهِ. Okay, so we can go to the next one, inshallah. The next one, that's number 23. The next one. Before we talk about the next one, I wanted to talk about this, the Islamic understanding and the importance of community and collectiveness from the sight of the Prophet ﷺ and from the perspective of the Quran. If we study the Quran and study the hadith and look over it generally, we'll see this... A shunning of individualism. So many ahadith talk about the sheep that is devoured by shaitan is the one that goes off on its own. And the Prophet ﷺ actually described three different types of sheep. One that just likes to stay on the outskirts. Another that goes gets lost on its own looking for rizq. And another one that just gets lost, like not paying attention to the rest of the herd. The Prophet ﷺ was like, these three types of goats or sheep are the ones that the wolf grabs first. But the one that's in the community, right in the heart, is the safest one of all of them. So in so many narrations we find, like the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he says, مَا شَقِيَ عَبْدٍ بِمَشْوَرَ وَلَا سَعِدَ عَبْدَ إِسْتَغْنَى بِرَأْيِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he says that no person has ever been in misfortune or shaqiya, the one who consults or takes mashwara from other people. And وَمَا سَعِدَ عَبْدًا إِسْتَغْنَى بِرَأْيِهِ. And no one was ever successful who إِسْتَغْنَى بِنَفْسِ بِرَأْيِهِ. إِسْتَغْنَى بِرَأْيِهِ means like he feels sufficient with his or her own understanding. Now the beautiful thing is, in the hadith that I narrated to you before, it basically said that three qualities that will appear that are extremely dangerous for the ummah. And what was one of those? What was one of those qualities? Impress with your own opinion. اعجابُ كُلِّ بِرَأْيِهِ. That it's, yeah, this is my opinion. This is what I think it is, and I'm impressed with it, no matter what anyone else says. So if we look at these various ahadith, we find that the Prophet ﷺ is encouraging this collectiveness and for us to be a part of the rest of the community. Hatta the decisions we make, doing mashwara with other people. Now what is mashwara? What's a good translation for mashwara?
Consultation?
Seeking advice, consulting. So in the Quran, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? To the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمَرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ had many decisions to make. in various situations. And even though he was getting revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even though Gabriel was coming to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet an etiquette for decision making. And that etiquette is to seek advice from the rest of the community, or seek advice, we won't say rest of the community yet. We're going to talk about who we actually seek advice from in a minute. But the order was to do what? Something called mashwara. And mashwara is to seek advice, to ask people advice and get their opinion on different things. Umar bin Khattab, he has a very interesting statement. And this statement is also said by Imam Ghazali in different verbiage. He says there's three types of people. There's three types of people. And the way Imam Ghazali says it, he says, "Rajul kamil, nisful rajul, and la shay." That there's three types of people. A complete person, a half a person, and a la shay. What's la shay? Like nothing. So he says, let's start with la shay. He says, a person who doesn't have a good head on their shoulders. They're not a good decision maker. And they don't do mashwara. They don't consult people. People of understanding, people of guidance, they don't consult them. Imam Ghazali said, la shay. And then he said, the second person is nisful rajul. The person doesn't have a good head on their shoulders. But what do? Very well. Consult and seek advice from other people. Imam Ghazali said, nisful rajul. But then he said, warajul kamil. A complete person is who? The person has both of these things. A good head on their shoulders. They can figure things out. They can look into their affairs. But even on top of that, they don't depend solely upon themselves, and they consult the rest of the community, or we'll see who we should be consulting in a minute, inshallah ta'ala. So that brings us to our next haq, haq number 24, that Imam Sha'rani says. He says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُشَاوِرَهُ فِي كُلِّ أَمْرٍ مُهِمٍ. One of the rights of brotherhood, Islamic brotherhood. And subhanAllah, anyone who's come into the deen and studied these things that the Quran places before us, you end up expecting so much from the community. But then when you come in the community and someone cuts you off in Jummah in the parking lot, you're like, yo, like, what's up? Like, what happened to all that? Like, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Like, you're just trying to get a spot and you cut me off. Or double parking. Like, really? What happened to يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ? So the point though, the reason why we discuss this, is we have to maintain that ideal. We have to keep teaching that ideal that the Prophet ﷺ set and the Sahaba set. And we have to strive for that. If we lose that, then what do we have left of the deen? So, what is the next haq? وَمِنْ حَقْ Number 24. وَمِنْ حَقْ الْأَقْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُشَاوِرَهُ فِي كُلِّ أَمْرٍ مُهِمٍ. That every serious situation, you consult your brother about that. You do mashwara. That's the word for it, mashwara. فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْمَشْوَرَ تَزِيدُ فِي صَفَاءِ الْمُوَدَّةِ. It's narrated that mashwara increases in the love between us. You know, you go to your brother, you're like, yo man, this thing about getting married. You know, Muhammad, right? Recently, right? MashaAllah. Did you do mashwara with Abdurrahman?
Yeah, of course.
You did, right? See? Exactly. Well, we'll see today if he was a good person to do mashwara with. Because there's some conditions that are needed with the person you do mashwara with, okay? So I'm not putting you on blast. I'm just saying. I think you got him, though, MashaAllah. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith, he said, "Man arada amaran fashawara fihi amaran musliman, وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ لَأَرْشَدَ أَمْرِهِ أُمُورِهِ." That the person who has a serious situation to make, and he does mashwara with someone of understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put guidance and benefit in that mashwara. In another hadith, there's another narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it's an author, I'm not sure, where مَا نَدِمَ نِسْتَخَارَ. What is it? Someone know this one? SubhanAllah, salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. So two things, istikhara and istishara. Istikhara is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And istishara is to ask your brothers and sisters. So the hadith says that ma khaba man istikhara, The one who does istikhara, meaning ask Allah for guidance, ma khaba. They'll never lose. Wa ma nadima, man istishara. And the one who does mashwara properly will never ever be nadim, remorseful, regretful over that mashwara that they took. Now, but before we go forward, who do we do mashwara of? So, I have five conditions for people that you're going to consult. Five conditions. And we'll look closely at these, inshallah ta'ala. Number one condition. Aql kamil ma'a tajriba sabiqa. They are intelligent and tajriba. What's tajriba?
Experienced.
Experience. It's important. Two things here. Was he experienced? You did mashwara with Nick, with Tazweej, right?
He doesn't have experience.
Huh?
He doesn't.
Okay, so he's missing kind of half of what.
But
he's aqal.
Yeah.
I mean, going to med school, everything, he's good.
Yeah.
Cool, all right. Let's see the next one. Wadeenun taqiyun. Has deen and taqwa of Allah. MashaAllah, he's got that. Alhamdulillah. We're only talking about mashwara, guys. Nasihan wudud. A well-wisher. And loving. Was he hoping good for you? Does he have love for you? Alhamdulillah. Honestly, if these conditions aren't here, you're not doing istishara with this person. And you're not doing istishara on Facebook and Snapchat. Like asking the whole community, what should I do? Sometimes you feel so bad, man. You see someone like important decision and it's like a newsfeed. Like, dang, like really you have no one really to ask about this issue. It's not a good thing. So number three. So number one was what? It's two part. Aqid, intellect, and experience. I want to say something here. A lot of times, we don't value the opinions of the elders in our community. And wallahi, tajruba or experience is powerful. It will save you a lot of mistakes in life. I mean, be your parents Muslim or non-Muslim, be they righteous or not righteous, they have life experience. And that's something that comes like with time. So it's important to, as they say, old is gold. Like, old is gold. Like there's a lot there. As my birthday comes close. March 3rd. I'm not old though.
You're gold.
I'm gold. There you go. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept. That's the kind of friend he is, mashallah. Okay, so two things, aqad and tajriba, number one. Number two was righteousness. It's important here because when you're doing mashwara, if this person doesn't have that righteousness, then it doesn't ground their decisions. It doesn't ground their advice. So the advice can be in left field because they don't have that stabilizer of deen, those values necessary to give you that right guidance. So deen, taqi. Deen means he has his religion, she has their religion, and taqi too, like aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, a well-wisher. They can be aqil, they can have experience, they can have deen, and just be a hater. And not a nasir. So nasiha means a well-wisher. They want what's best for you. They want what's best for you. And wudud. Love. Number four, Salim al-Fikr min gham wa shawaghib. The person you're doing istishara with, he's not or she's not preoccupied mentally with some other issue that's overburdening them. Like they're in a state of ease where their mind is free to actually give you sound advice in that affair. So you make sure like, yo, is everything cool? How you doing? Everything? They're like, yeah, I'm good. You start talking like, hey, what's going on? They're like, yeah, I got this problem, I got this. Their mind is so busy. Now you ask them advice and they're so busy on their issue, they give you nothing of benefit or not what they could have given to their max potential. And number five, أَلَّا يَكُونُ فِيهِ غَرْضًا يُتَابِعُهُ. There's no alternative motive or a gharb like a, yeah, another motive or incentive that is connected to him or her. You know, right? There was no gharz for him there, right?
No.
Everyone understands what I'm saying. Like, there's no reason where he's like, nah, man, she's horrible. Nah, man, I'm telling you, really bad for you. And there's some other reason inside. So he's like, he has nothing to do with it. Yes.
That's five.
That's five of them. The first one, though, honestly, is twofold. Because the person can have aqad and have no experience. It was funny because one of my friends, he was with some elders, like some OG Muslims, right? African-American. Oh, they've been Muslim for a long time, right? And this brother has a lot of ilm. And they were sitting with him, and he was young. And they were talking with him. And they said, man, we can't wait till your experience catches up to your knowledge. We can't wait till your experience catches up to your knowledge. Because you got knowledge, but you don't got experience. And until you get experience, it's not, it's nifs, it's not enough. And that's why we need the elders in the community, regardless of their aqal. They've lived life. And living life is what teaches lessons. So that's gold. So I wanted to narrate actually one story of Umar bin Khattab regarding mashwara. Everyone got up all of these conditions? Before we go into this story, because it's going to actually come out in the story, the next thing is this. Decision making can lead to analysis paralysis. Having too many decisions to make can lead to what? Analysis paralysis, where you're like a deer in the headlights. You have so many decisions to make that you're just stuck. And there was a time when life was a lot easier. There were like three sodas to choose from, one shampoo, two types of chips, and one type of ice cream. And you walked in the store and you bought it. But now it's not like that. You got choices for everything, right? And there's a book, I can't remember the exact name of it. I recommended it to you guys before, some of the Qalb students. Regarding information overload, right? And how we have so many choices to make now that it just like dumb choices that we have to make that people didn't have to make before and think about so much. So why am I talking about this? Because the Quran says this, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمَرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Do mashwara, then make a decision, and then what? تَوَكَّلْ. Don't look back. That's it. You did istikhara, you asked Allah. You asked Allah. Allah put it in your heart. It was clear. You saw a dream. You woke up. Whoa. Right? You saw her in your dream, Muhammad. Alright? Then what happened? You did mashwara with this dude. You're like, alright, so this is this. This is her dad. Her, you know, this, that. Her ammu, this, that. You explained everything. He's like, yo, bismillah. You did istikhara, you did istishara. Tawakkal ala Allah. Azam, azam. Azam, don't break azam. Azam means, azam is just like you make the decision, you stick with it. You don't shake after that. You never go back after that. You make the decision, you stick with it. And then what comes next? Fatawakkal ala Allah. That's where tawakkal comes in. Or else, you're never going to make progress in life. Every decision, you'll make the decision, no, should I go back? Should I? No, you made the decision, Muhammad, of wallahi, it's going to be barakah, inshallah. Say Ameen, inshallah. It's going to be barakah. You did all the steps. Tawakkal ala Allah. Bismillah. So I want to share this one interesting incident that happened in the time that Umar bin Khattab was Khalifa. And a very interesting incident happened where he had to do mashwara on multiple occasions, but we get a really beautiful lesson from it. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he narrates that أن Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu خرج إلى الشام حتى إذا كان بسرق لقيه أمراء الجناد Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah wa ashabuhu. This was in the time when the Futuhat were happening. The Islamic Empire was spreading. And there were many wars that were happening. And Umar bin Khattab was the Khalifa at the time. So Umar bin Khattab had taken a large group of Sahaba to Sham, to Syria, to meet Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, who was the general for the side of the army that was advancing on that front. So they went there and they met since you're there, you know. So listen to what happened. فَأَخْبَرُوهُ أَنَّ الْوَبَاءَ قَدَ وَقَعَ بِأَرْضِ الشَّامِ. The moment, so they stopped them. Like, so Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah is in charge of the forces moving up to Syria. Umar bin Khattab is coming to meet them from Medina, coming up to meet them. So Abu Ubaidah and some of his companions, they come down and they meet them halfway. And they're like, hey guys, don't come. There's a plague spreading in Sham right now. Al-Waba. There's a plague that's spreading in Sham. Faqala Ibn Abbas. So Ibn Abbas explains, Qala Umar, call the Muhajirin al-Awwalin. He goes, so now they're stuck. What's the issue, guys? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Do we go to Sham and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's a plague that's going on there. We just go though, trust in Allah. Or do we go back? That's the situation. That's the question being asked. If there's more, send it to the sister side. Okay. We're killing it, bro.
I tried offering. Did you want it?
You gotta offer a few times.
I'm a nice guy.
Okay, send it over. Don't look inside, there'll be barakah.
This is y'all's last chance.
Bismillah.
But all was good. Yeah.
John, you good?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Alright, cool. Alright. Alright, so let's continue this story. Beautiful story. He says, Udhuli al Muhajirin al Awwaleen. Call the Muhajirin al Awwaleen. Fada'ahum. They call them. Fastasharahum. Wa akhbaruhum an al wabaqa da waqa bi fil sham. So he calls them all. Who did he call first? Please pay attention to the story. He calls the Muhajirin al Awwaleen. Let's explain who they are. The Muhajirin al Awwaleen are like the first people who accepted Islam. These were like, from the day one, guys. Okay? From like day one. So he calls them and tells them what happened. فَاخْتَلَفُوا. And he's talking to all of them. فَاخْتَلَفُوا. They all start like arguing kind of amongst themselves. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ خَرَخَرَجْنَا لِأَمْرٍ. Some of them were like, no, we left for something. We gotta keep going. وَلَا نَرَىٰ أَن نَرْجِعَنْ. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ. The other were like, no, you have all of these people. You have all of these great sahaba. There's no way that we should go to this place. So they kept arguing a bit. So then Umar bin Khattab, he goes, irtafa'u anni. He's like, alright, go. Then he goes, call the Ansar. Now who are the Ansar? They're group number two of those who accepted Islam. He says the exact same thing to them. They start to debate themselves again. And he asked them, he goes, alright, you guys go. They were arguing as well. So he said, ادعوا لي من كان هاهنا من مشايخ القريش من المهاجرين الفت. He goes, call the mashayikh of Quraysh. Like, I want the big guys. Not all the muhajirin. I want the big guys. I want to talk to them. فدعوهم فلم تختلف منهم عليهم رجلان. None of them disagreed. They're like, we need to go back. We don't need to be going to Sham if there's a plague there. So, Umar bin Khattab, he goes, in the morning we're out. Everyone, in the morning, we're leaving, we're going back. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, he's like, Afararan min qadirillah. He's like, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, are we running from the qadir of Allah? Like, is that what we do? We Muslims run from the qadr, the fate, the destiny of Allah. Are we running from the destiny of God? And he's like, I wish someone else said that besides you. That's what he said. He's like, I wish someone else said that besides you. He's like, and this is a lesson we really need to take. He says, we run from the qadr of Allah to the qadr of Allah. He says, we run from the qadr of Allah ila qadrillah. We have to realize that, guys. That's something we need to really put in our hearts and realize. That where we end up, that's what's best for us. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what's best for us. So subhanAllah. So then, so something else happens. So they're getting ready to leave, and then Abdurrahman bin Auf was busy doing something. All this happened the night before. So Abdurrahman bin Auf, one of the Sahaba, he wasn't there. So the narration says he came. And when he came, he's like, yo, what's going on? And they told him what happened. And he goes, I actually have some knowledge about this situation. He goes, inna indi fi hadha ilmun. He says, I actually have some ilm about this situation. Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, idha sami'tum bihi bi ardin, فلا تقدموا عليه وإذا وقع بأرض وأنتم بها فلا تخرج فرارا من. And then Umar bin Khattab, he said, Alhamdulillah. Let me explain what happened. They debate at nighttime. Umar bin Khattab's like, all right, we're leaving in the morning. And Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, we're running from the Qadr of Allah. He's like, we run from the Qadr of Allah to the Qadr of Allah. Then later that night, Abdurrahman bin Auf shows up. He had been busy with something. So then, he's like, what's going on? Like, I heard some debate. They're like, yeah, this is what's happening. He's like, I actually know a hadith about this. Like, no one else had heard this hadith. So he's like, I actually have some knowledge on this situation to tell you guys. So he's like, they're like, what is it? He's like, I heard the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, say, if we are advancing to some place and we hear of a plague, don't enter. And if we're in a place where a plague breaks out, don't leave. Come on now. If you can't write books on medicine from that hadith, like, seriously. Look at the inside of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 1400 years ago, right? Beautiful. So then Umar bin Khattab had already made a decision in that direction. So Umar bin Khattab was like, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah what? That I did mashwara, I called the top people, I asked them for advice, I made a decision, set my mind, and even got opposition. Notice the opposition, please. Because you will make decisions, you'll do mashwara, and you'll have that one hater come up and not. And I'm not trying to say that in this situation, na'udhubillah min dhalika, but we will have that one person come up and be like, why are you going to do that? And you got to say, yo, I made the decision, alhamdulillah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's my decision. And the knowledge came, and then Umar bin Khattab was like, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a decision that went in line with the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, any questions on mashwara? I need a favor, Muhammad. I'm sorry. Can you give me the charger? My battery's dark.
What was the name of the book
The Organized Mind. That was the book, yeah. The Organized Mind was the book about information overload. Okay, now there's one more thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that there will come a time. Good question. Yes, it is. Thank you. The Prophet ﷺ has informed us that there will come a time when don't do mashwara anymore with people. An age of individualism almost. An age. So up till now, what we were saying, that if we look at the main theme, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, don't be a loner. Stick with the jama'ah. Seek counsel from your family. Seek counsel from people. Don't make decisions on your own. Consult. But there's a hadith I really wanted to share with you guys, because it's powerful. Abdullah bin Amr bin As, he says, it's one of my favorite hadith. قَالَ بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ حَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. One day we were sitting in the presence around the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. إِذْ ذَكَرَ الْفِتْنَةِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started to talk about the trials and tribulations of like end times. Fitna. فَقَالَ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ النَّاسِ قَدْ مَرِجَتْ أُهُودُهُمْ وَخَفَّتْ أَمَانَتُهُمْ وَكَانُوا هَكَذَا وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, listen closely everyone. When you see people have مَزَّجَتْ أُهُودُهُمْ, completely lost their ahad. They can't keep their trust anymore. They can't keep their pledges. They tell you something, can't keep the word. When you see that has happened, وَخَفَّتْ أَمَانَتُهُمْ, and trust or amana. Amana is like something I safeguard with you. وَخَفَّتْ أَمَانَتُهُمْ, and amana has become something light. What does that mean? There, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the ideal that we've learned is your word is bond, as we used to say. Like, your word is heavy. And if I couldn't do it, I'm not giving my word. A handshake was like, that's it. It was heavy. So he says, وَخَفَّتْ أَمَانَ. Word will be light. Yeah, I got you. He doesn't even mean it. It's light. Give your word, it's light. Then he says, وَكَانُوا هَكَذَا. And all the people are like this. Meaning, like, شَبَّكَ. Everyone's mixed together. No differentiation. Wallahu alam what that means. I don't know. وشبك I really والله أعلم. I have some theories, but والله أعلم.
شبك
what? شبك أصابع. He did this to his fingers. He said the people will become like this. Like this. The fingers all intertwined together. Then he said, فَقُمْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ Abdullah bin Amr bin As, he says, I stood up. And I was like, كَيْفَ أَفْعَلْ إِنْدَ ذَلِكَ He's like, what should I do? Because the Prophet ﷺ stopped. He's like, well, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then he says, جَعَلَنِي اللَّهُ فِدَاكَ He's like, please tell me, what should I do when that happens? When people can't be trusted, when the trust is light, and when everyone's just mixed together. What do I do? The Prophet ﷺ, listen closely, guys. He says, إِلْزَمْ بَيْتَكَ Number one. Stay at home more. Stay at home more. Then he says, وَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانِكَ Control your tongue. And I would say control your feeds too, your posts. He says, stay at home, control your tongue. When fitna comes, everyone got to speak up on it. Everyone's got to say something, right? Control your tongue. Then he says, وَخُذْ بِمَا تَعْرِفْ What you know to be right, take it. وَدَعْ مَا تُنْكِرْ Whatever you don't know, just leave that. The stuff you know, that's right, take it. Whatever you're unaware, like I never heard of that, leave it. Leave it. And then he says, وَعَلَيْكَ بِأَمْنِ خَاسَةِ نَفْسِكْ And take care of your people. Take. So this is a situation where the Prophet ﷺ is like, at this time, don't worry about the whole community. عَلَيْكَ بِخَاسَةِ نَفْسِكْ Look at your people and make sure your people got their you got them taken care of. وَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاسَةِ نَفْسِكْ وَدَعْ عَنْكَ عَمَرِ الْعَامَ And guess what? Give up عَمَرِ الْعَامَ What's عَامَ? The general population. This is not now, inshallah ta'ala, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is keep an eye out, right? Keep an eye out and realize that the Prophet ﷺ said that there'll come a time where it's like, yo, let me take care of my family. That's it, not the whole community anymore. Because now things have changed and it's not what it used to be. Okay, any questions, inshallah? I want to move on to the next one, inshallah. So this one was mashwara, the haq of mashwara. We talked about who to do mashwara with, the things to look for in someone you do mashwara with, the concept of community, that don't feel complacent with your own opinion. Don't feel complacent, do mashwara. Just remember this, if the Prophet ﷺ was getting wahi revelation and he's doing mashwara, who are you? Then just put it that way. The Prophet ﷺ is doing mashwara with his companions. Who am I? I need it more so. Okay? Hey, you're going to ask a question?
Yeah, I remember reading in one of the books of Imam Ghazali that during his period of time, he was considering that the period which you're defining is already in his period of time. So how do we take that information and this information? And, this is a little confusing.
So the question is that Imam Ghazali rahimahullah in his time felt the brother read, and I'm not sure of the reference. I'd have to see it myself, but that Imam Ghazali felt that was at his time. What he had witnessed. And here we are today, you know, hundreds of years after Imam Ghazali, what's the situation at this time? Huh?
Worse.
Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. I mean, I think we really need to be concerned with our peoples, our families, right? I think, ilzam baytak, like, be comfortable at home. The Prophet said to someone, hopefully, make your house wide enough for you. Meaning, be comfortable at home, right? Be comfortable with your family at home. Like, you don't always have to be out doing this, that. Be comfortable with your peoples at home. And then, amlik alayka lisanak, control your tongue. I mean, that's an order we find throughout the Quran for all times. That this control of the tongue. The Prophet was asked, will a person go to hell because of something they said? The Prophet ﷺ was like, a person will be dragged on his nose because of a word in the hellfire, because of a word that he said. So the fact of controlling the tongue is something we need to do all the time. Taking what we know and leaving what we don't know. I mean, now we have so much information thrown on us at the internet that you don't know anything. You open a site, you don't know who's behind the site. the most beautiful sight. You know, what is it? Like, it's a scam, the whole thing. You buy something, money's gone, right? Right? So you don't know. You have no idea. So take what you know, leave what you don't, take care of your fam, control your tongue. I'm good. No, seriously, that advice to me is like, jamming. Take care of your fam, control your tongue, be happy at home, take what you know, leave what you don't. SubhanAllah. So I feel like that advice, even if we say, you know, we got time, we're good, that advice is still beautiful enough for us to take parts of it. Now, some hadith, the Prophet ﷺ went to another extent. He's like, it's going to get so bad where you need to take some goats and sheep and live in Texas, basically. Live on a farm. Live on a farm. Because a farm life is chill. Like, some like it, some don't. I mean, but you got everything you need, right? You milk, got your milk, got your eggs, got your goat if you need it. You're chilling. You got all you need right there. So the Prophet said, there'll come a time where the best wealth will be your goats that you have living on a ranch in Texas. Right, Ali? I'm down, right? Yo, we can do it, bro. Yo, talking to Ali, yo. Anyways, Chayyid, inshallah. All right, yes.
This idea of like having their people's fingers together, I was thinking, could it relate to the idea of people not being generous? Like, we often this time talk about people having, like, outstretching their hand.
I got you. I understood it a bit different. I felt it was like this identity politics we have here. Like, wallahu a'lam. I just felt it goes kind of towards that direction. Wallahu a'lam. I don't
know. It's like, you know, how people get in the grave and your ribs come like this, you did this.
They interact. Yeah, yeah. They come together.
There's something like, okay, like, we're just like crushing each other, like stressed and like rubbing each other friction.
SubhanAllah. Wallahu a'lam, man. Wallahu, I didn't want to comment. I didn't know, so I don't want to comment. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, khair. Let's go forward, inshallah ta'ala. I want to read one or two more of the hukuk of brotherhood and sisterhood, of course. Next one. Not as difficult. I think we can really work towards this one. Imam Sha'rani, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يَتَكَدَّرَ مِنْهُ إِذَا طَالَ لَهُ أَنَا أَبْغِذُكَ وَيُفَتِّشُ عَلَى الصَّفَاتِ أَلَّتِي أَبْغَضَهُ لِأَجْلِهِ فَيَزِيلُهَا فَإِذَا زَالَ بُغْضَهُ وَإِلَّا كَرَّرَ تَفْتِيشْ ثَانِيًا وَثَالِثًا. This is the hard one. He says, one of the rights of your brother on you is if they say to you, I'm upset with you, I'm angry with you, Ali. I'm not, I'm just using an example. If they say, Ali, I'm angry with you. He says that you don't let that soil your heart and you search for that thing that upset that brother or sister. Let's talk about what really happens. Oh, you're upset with me? I don't care. Who are you? Why are you upset with me? Now your heart gets thing with them. I didn't need you anyway. Whatever. Exactly. So what is he saying? Opposite. The brother's like, I'm upset with you. And you're like, what is it? I'm sorry. What did I do? Is everything cool? He said, fattish. Look for the thing. Look for that thing that upset that person and remove it from yourself. He says, if you can't find it, if you can't find it, look again and look again and look again. Where's my, how's Majid doing? Salam ala Majid, inshallah. Majid. Salam, inshallah. Okay? Alright, khair. Next one. That's number 25, sah? Munir? Sah?
Yeah.
Number 26. This one is a bit long. There's a bit I wanted to talk about with this next one, inshallah ta'ala. Khair, let's try our best, inshallah. The next one is وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يَكْتُمَ سِرَّهُ إِذَا سَرَّ إِذَا السِّرْ كَالْعَوْرَ وَقَدْ حُرِّمَ كَشْفُهَا وَالنَّظْرِ إِلَيْهَا وَتَحَدَّثْ بِهَا وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ سَتَرَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِي سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ وَمَنْ كَشَفَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِي كَشَفَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. He says that the next right, 25th right, of a brother on another brother is to cover their secret. Cover their secret. So you know something's secret. They share a secret with you. You hold that. You keep it. And I want to kind of like, the word is katam, right? If you look at this word khatam in the Quran and in the hadith, there are certain things we learn that we're supposed to khatam, and we get reward for that. Khatam means to like seal it, to cover it. And there's certain things we're not supposed to khatam. I'll give you an example. Khatam un ni'mah. Hiding the blessing of Allah is not allowed. Not allowed. Allah blessed you with something. The Prophet ﷺ said, show the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to hide the blessing of Allah. Knowledge. Katamul ilm. Not allowed to do. Hiding knowledge. Not allowed to do. Katam ash-shahada. Hiding a testimony. Not allowed. Katam. Same word. Means covering. However, there are other things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the katam of. Which is sir, secrets. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a beautiful hadith, and as a millennial, I'm telling you this hadith is for us. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ista'inu ala hawa'ijukum bil kitman." That whatever you're trying to do, goals and objective, achieve them through hiding them. What does this mean? You know the moment you get an idea to do something, you tell someone you're doing it, and you didn't even start yet, and then you don't do it? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, no. Things that you want to achieve, keep them quiet. Keep them to yourself. And go after them. Go after them. Don't talk about it. Talk is cheap. Don't talk. Keep it inside and go after it. But here's the problem. The problem with katam as-sir is that it's so hard because it's like it's jumping out of you. You know, you sit down with someone, they're like, hey, what's new? You're like, nothing. It's just there. It's like trying to leap out of you. So Imam Ghazali talks about the concept of sabr. That in reality, we talked about sabr in our purification series. But sabr, as I said, sabr means patience. It's a loose translation, sabr. And it's something in the Quran spoken about Allah. And normally translated as patience. But patience doesn't do it justice. Sabr, it just means to be able to hold something. Right? Being able to hold something. So, ketam as-sir, and that's why Imam Shafi, he has a poem where he says, if you tell a secret to someone and they share it, don't blame them. Because the same thing that pushed it out of you, pushed it out of them. Right? What's the difference? You couldn't hold it yourself, you want him to hold it? If you couldn't hold it, how's he gonna hold it? So he's like, yo, if you tell a secret to someone, and subhanAllah, how many of you, you know this is what we do. Yo, I'm going to tell you, don't tell nobody. And then you go, yo, I'm going to tell you, don't tell nobody. Yo, don't tell. And then finally, those two, they're together. You're like, oh yeah, I told both of you. It's all good. We can talk. Like what? I thought you told me I was the only one that knew. We tell everyone, don't tell anyone. I'm going to just tell you only. And before you know it, 15 people know. And then it gets out, and you're like, man, someone's shady. You let it out. You're the one that let it out. Like, that's true. So the thing we have to learn ourselves is this control. Like, control your own secrets first. Control your own secret first. Learn how to hold that to yourself first. The second step is to learn how to control other people's secrets. The Prophet said, this is so important. We are in an age of character assassination. Haters assassinating character of people. The Prophet ﷺ, in clear hadith, man satara awrata akhi, satara Allahu awratahu. The one who covers the fault of another person, Allah will cover their faults. And wallahi, brothers. The one who, as the hadith says, the one who exposes their brother, Allah will humiliate them in their own home. In their own home. May Allah protect us. So always remember, like, if you get that urge to speak up on something and shame someone out of their presence, just remember, it's coming back. It's coming back. Remember, no, that could be me next week. That can be me. I'm not above that. That could be me. Hold that in. So the Prophet said, you cover the sin, Allah will cover yours too. And to be honest, there's a dua that my teacher taught me, which was all praise to Allah who satar al-qabih wa adhar al-jameel. Regarding us. Regarding us. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to reveal to the people what you do locked behind your doors, you wouldn't even be able to show face. So my teacher taught this dua, which was what? All praise to Allah who has satar al-qabih. He hid that, like, qabih means like ugly. He hid it and then he showed the beautiful from us. He just hid the hideous and showed everyone the beauty. They see like, oh, assalamualaikum, how you doing? And you're like, subhanAllah. Yeah, I'm good, yo. Alhamdulillah. And they praise you, like, what? No, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just covered. So there was a question, and I think I know where the question's gonna go. Yes, sister.
Yes, I just wanted to, where's the balance in terms of covering the sin of your brother? Like, what if that person is a person in a situation where it's a person of influence?
Obviously, that's different.
Okay, so
if there's any harm coming to someone, and you have to stop the harm of someone, that's obviously. You have to, right? Because there's now you're going into the dhulm of other people, right? So that's not hiding a sin. That's now protecting someone from harm, right? So you have to kind of speak up to someone who can take care of it. But most of the time, we don't speak up to someone who can take care of it. We just post, like, open. Let's just make it open for everyone. That's not actually taking care of anything. That's just fanning the flames. And in the time of when Aisha, the wife of the Prophet the waqia ifk, right? The incident where she was accused, na'udhu billah, of adultery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيءَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, those who love to see fahisha spreading through the community, for them is a terrible punishment. So be people that cover fault of bad, not spreaders of bad. Spread good. Obviously, if there's someone that's being harmed or potential, you gotta speak up. That's wild there. We're just talking about pointless, like, posts. Pointless just gossip. Pointless just bringing stuff up. Like, what are we getting out of that? Other than it feels good to just talk about it. Because it's not us right now. That's it. So that's the situation we're talking about. But please remember that verse of the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيءُ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, those people who love to see fahish, indecency, spreading throughout the community and everyone talking about it, for them is a terrible punishment. So just be careful. Realize for yourself, right? Just realize for yourself that I don't want to be one of those contributing to that type of dialogue in the community. Okay? So he says, so back to the haq though, a brother gives you or a sister gives you a secret, hold that. Hold that. Now here's one thing I wanted to also combine. We talked about mashwara, and now we're talking about keeping secrets, especially your own. So one of the things is when you do mashwara and consult and seek advice, many times you have to share something secret. Like if I'm going to do mashwara with you, it is something secret, I'm going to have to share with you. So that's even more reason why you have to look at those conditions of the person and make sure that this person is someone that you should be doing mashwara with. Right? Because you're sharing a part of something that's really close to you, something that's really like a part of your secret life. Okay, the next one. Okay, should we save for next week? I think we should save for next week, inshallah. Huh? I'm getting mixed reviews here, okay? Alright, I'm gonna do one more, okay guys? One more, number 27?
Yeah.
Okay. This is beautiful. It goes with the context, so it's good to actually cover this one. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَقْءَ لَلْأَقْءَ أَلَّا يُصَدِّقَ مَنْ نَمَّ لَهُ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. The next right is that you never ever believe a person that comes to you spreading namima. Now, let me explain namima. Namima is a person who carries news in between people to break up relationships. You know, like, just throw salt. That's all they do. They take information from here, add a little something to it, say something over here, break that relationship. Namima. Namima. So he says, the right of one brother of another brother is when a person comes to you with that namima. So what is namima again? What is namima? It's normally they translate it loosely as a tale carrier or someone who They take information from one place to another with the intention of breaking people up. So I heard this. Now I'm going to go over here and tell, hey, I heard this. Why? Because that's going to create animosity between you two. That's namima. And so many Quran ayahs that talk about namima. Okay? So what is the right? Is that the moment you hear it, la yusaddiq. I'm not hearing this. La yusaddiq. Imam Ghazali, he says, listen closely. There's six things you have to do when you hear namima come to you. Six things you have to do when someone carries namima to you. Six things. Number one, alla yusaddiqahu annama. You don't believe him. Like, I'm not hearing you. I don't believe it. You just throw it out right there. Number two, ayanhahu an dhalika. Number two, number two out of six. You stop him, like, yo, I'm not, please, chill. I'm good. Stop the person. Okay? Number three. This is a little harder. Be gentle with this one. That you are upset with the person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are upset with the person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَّا يَظُنُّ بِالْمَنْقُولِ عَنْهُ سُوءٌ. Number four, don't change your opinion about the one he's speaking about. Don't let it affect you. It would never happen. Number five, أَلَّا يَتَجَسَّسْ عَلَى تَحْقِيقْ ذَلِكَ. Don't تَجَسَّسْ after. Don't try to investigate and find out is it actually true. Just drop it. Never heard it. Number six, أَلَّا يُحْكِي مَا نَمَّ لَهُ بِ. And now you don't go and يُحْكِي. Pass it on somewhere else. Stop it right there. Stop it right there. So he goes into a more detail. I think we can stop right here. But this is an extremely important aspect for the community. The communities that we're a part of, these things destroy communities. Absolutely destroy. One person starts, another takes it, another family, this family takes it, this family, and then it goes to this person. Now this whole family is against this family, and done. No, stop it. Don't believe it. Stop it right there. Tell them, I'm not hearing you. And walk away from that. It's important, extremely important. One of the scholars, I think it was Imam Ghazali, he used to say, the person that backbites to you will backbite about you to someone else. Remember that. The person who backbites to you about that person, when he's with someone else, he'll backbite about you. So as you sit there and you're like, man, really? Just realize you're just nodding to when they're going to be backbiting about you. Because it's a quality inside. Doesn't matter, it's you. They just have this disease. So they'll do it with you, they'll do it with him, they'll do it with her, they'll do it with whoever. Right? So the point is to stop that right as it starts and not to accept that or listen to it. And obviously, we shouldn't be the ones spreading that, obviously. Okay.
Just walk away when someone starts doing that?
So you got to be tactful. You need emotional intelligence for that. Right? No, seriously, you got to be tactful. But depending on who the person is, I would say the levels of your anger or the levels of your severity in replying to that. You know, if it's someone you just met, then maybe you have to be a little more cordial and kind of avoid that situation, obviously. But if it's someone I know close and I'm tight with, I'm just like, yo, what are you doing? Yo, that's haram, man. What are you doing? Because I'm close with them. I have that relationship. Like, yo, I'm not hearing you. Stop, please. But if someone else, then you're just more like, you know, yo, I don't think we should do that. We're Muslims, right? Just like remind them. So I think you got to look at the relationship you have with that person. A lot of times people's hearts are diseased, really diseased. They just like to see people fighting. They like to see ikhtilaf in the community. They get a rush out of that. So those type of people, you just got to like keep distance from. And you got to be one that cuts that, because that spreads hatred in the community. So we have to be people that like, not only don't believe it, but actually like work against it to minimize the effect of it. And it's a major sin in Islam. Backbiting and namima, major sins. And they're just sins of the tongue. But they're just sins of the tongue, but sicknesses of the heart. Sicknesses of the heart. So they're actually telling you something deeper about that person or about yourself. That's why they're so bad. I'll give us tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, inshallah, alhamdulillah. I hope it was beneficial for everyone. inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue with 28, right? Inshallah, we'll continue with 28. I don't know if we're going to get through all 60. Wallahu alam. When's the Bayina vacation?
Not next week, weekend.
Okay. The week after, when's our vacation?
Same.
When's our vacation?
Same.
Okay, so there won't be a class. Can you tell me the date, the Wednesday of the vacation? 14th only? So there's no class on the 14th then? خير إن شاء الله لصلي صلاة العشاء إن شاء الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين